A new Homeland Security Inspector General audit says Customs and Border Protection never developed performance measures. Investigators found aircraft don't meet flight goals, and CBP has way undercalculated flight costs. The agency, however, disputes those findings. From the management side of the story, I spoke with Randolph Tex Alice. He's the Assistant Commissioner of the Office of Air and Marine at CBP. His first bone to pick concerned how long the drones are supposed to be in the air.
One thing I would just highlight there on the flying hours is that the IG basically expected us to keep the airplane aloft almost all the time. So we aspire to a 7x16 capability eventually when we have enough funding to do that. That doesn't mean the platforms would fly all the time. That means I would have capability to keep the aircraft up if I need them. So they went ahead and computed that kind of airborne all the time approach, which came out to be 23,000 hours per year on the platforms I have, which is almost 2,500 hours per platform per year. Well, these aircraft don't last forever. In fact, they would wear out in a few years of that utilization rate and, in fact, just waste the taxpayers' dollars. When they needed the asset available to be utilized on the borders, it wouldn't be there. So we put the aircraft up when we need the aircraft to be up in concert with what we have available in the actual budget profile. So the assertion that they ought to fly 23,000 hours a year, you know, is not where I need the airplanes to be. I need to have them available for operations, and that's where we're headed on the current profile. But to use them at that rate would actually be a misuse of government assets, because I just wear the airplanes out. In about probably 4 or 5 years, they'd be gone. I wouldn't have them at all.
Well, how do you know when you need to get them aloft?
Well, we put the aircraft aloft based on what the threat environment is. So I shouldn't say threat, but I should say basically where they're needed. So the aircraft have primarily operated in the high-tempo locations, which would be in the Arizona area of operations, which was what it was during this year, FY13. And then that's shifted now to the Rio Grande Valley, which is where the mass majority of our immigration is occurring. But Arizona is also still a hot spot because it's the major drug flow between the ports. We have major drug flows there in Arizona. So those two areas are the areas that we focus our operations in, which is why, you know, I have a site in Sierra Vista, Arizona, and I have a site in Corpus Christi, which helps me access those locations more readily. So that's how we determine that. And then it's also based on, I mean, the budget that's provided for the program. It's not unlimited. So I can't just fly the airplane as much as I want to. There are budget constraints based on, you know, how much money the agency can allocate and how much money the Congress will give us to operate the platforms.
And what is the major cost element in operating the planes? Is it fuel mainly or personnel?
The major cost in operating the airplane is actually the maintenance of the aircraft, the contract maintenance of the aircraft. The fuel is actually fairly economical. It's a turboprop aircraft. It's very efficient on the fuel side. So it's mainly the maintenance contract that we use to actually operate the airplanes and keep them flying.
And there's a bill in Congress for Homeland Security. And in fact, I think the secretary has testified against it, or it's come out against this bill. And one provision deep in there calls on something like a 7x18x365-day operation for unmanned aerial vehicles by CBP.
Yeah, so I can't comment on legislation pending. I will point out that in the past, the Congress has asked us to increase the quantities of UAVs we have on hand. They've asked us to add platforms, and we have actually requested them not to include that in bills because we don't feel like that would be an effective use of taxpayer dollars right now. We want to do more operational work with this platform before we would ever think about expanding that. So there's no intent by my office to currently look at an expansion of the program. And in fact, we told the IG that. I just want to quote a letter we have posted on our website. We sent this letter to the IG on the 6th of October, well in advance of them issuing the report. And I'll just read two paragraphs to you. It says, I'm writing to clarify the status of U.S. Customs and Border Protection Office of Air and Marine Unmanned Aircraft System Acquisition Plans. Currently, OAM has a fleet of 9 UAS and intends to purchase one additional aircraft to replace the one that ditched off the California coast in January 2014. There is no intent at this time to acquire additional UAS beyond the one replacement aircraft, nor does OAM have a contract or funding in place to expand the UAS program. So we've been very clear with the IG. This is actually a written document I signed out in October to the Inspector General about our intentions on the program. That does not seem to have resonated over there. For some reason, the letter did not seem to impact their report. I'll just leave it there.
We're speaking with Tex Alice. He is the Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Air and Marine at Customs and Border Protection. And the other, I guess, main finding from the IG report, or one of the main findings, was a big differential in how they felt the cost per hour of these machines should be calculated versus how CBP was calculating it. And there was a difference of something like 5 to 1.
So let me just highlight a couple of points here for starters. One, I think the IG fundamentally does not understand what the platform is utilized for. We use it for domain awareness, and that is reflected in the other parts of the report when they get into apprehensions and those kinds of things. And the other kind of undertone of the report is that the platform has no utility for us at all. So in the year they calculated these numbers, fiscal year 13, they calculated the aircraft took $12,000 an hour to operate. I disagree with that number. It's not fundamentally how I've ever used it. I have a lot of experience in air operations. I was in the Marine Corps for 35 years. I ran large aviation organizations. We never calculated cost per hour in the way the IG did. But let's just say, in this case, we'll take it for an example, $12,000 an hour. So in fiscal year 13, the platform flew 5,100 hours. It was responsible for contraband seizures of $341 million. That's $66,000 per flight hour. That's a return on investment of 444%. I'd say that's a pretty good deal for the taxpayer. It's returning a huge amount of contraband and preventing that stuff from coming into the United States or being, you know, taken possession of before it arrives in the streets of the U.S. as illegal drugs or money or weapons. So that's a huge return, I think, that's missed in the report totally.
You mentioned that the main purpose of this platform, of this aircraft, is to have situational awareness. So does that imply that its purpose is not really to help directly in apprehensions, and therefore the low number they attributed of apprehensions to that aircraft doesn't really calculate?
One thing I would point out is that we are equipping the aircraft with broad area sensors. So when the program was in its early phases, basically we had the basically Predator, what I'll call a straight stick Predator, which was the platform with a camera. In the recent years, we have now equipped it with radars. The Vader radar is an example that sees people actually walking on the ground. So in the year of the report, it detected 18,000 people walking on the ground, and we use that information in a broad operational context to help direct agents, Border Patrol agents, to apprehension points. We don't stay over the point of the apprehension. The UAV continues to move down the border doing this surveillance with its radar to help direct, you know, a multitude of agents, not just one single group. So again, it's providing you domain or situational awareness, whatever you want to call it, so that I can direct in large amounts of agents towards the actual people that they're going to apprehend. So staying on target and doing individual apprehension, that's what I have helicopters for. The A-STAR helicopter, my Cessnas, can do that. Some of my other aircraft that are flying there locally actually work with the individual agent and bring them into the individual apprehension. That's not really the design we have for the Predator aircraft.
All right, so looking ahead to 2016 and beyond, what would the ideal Predator or unmanned aerial vehicle program look like for Customs and Border Protection?
So I think for ourselves, the direction we want to go is, as I mentioned before, and the reason I don't want more platforms, we want to continue to operationalize the platforms. Get more broad area surveillance equipment on the platform itself, get more flying hour money into the program and under the contract so I can get my hours up into the 6,000 to 9,000 hour range. That takes money to do that. And then also they just get better integration with the ground side of CBP, which we're working through. That's worked quite well for us in the Arizona area. We need to continue to expand that throughout the rest of our program.
And let me just ask you one kind of off-the-wall question. I know the Army is using balloons on tethers, a floating object on a tether that might be 5,000 feet in the air, and it can see to the horizon for hundreds of miles, and there's all sorts of sensors on those. Is that the type of technology that might also have applicability to the border, and could that be more economical in some way?
So a couple of things. One, the platforms you're talking about, which I utilized when I was in Iraq, don't see hundreds of miles. They fly at a few thousand feet. They have kind of a horizon probably on the 15 to maybe 20-mile range there. So they, like anything else or something, you have to pay to operate. So they have utility there, but they can't cover the vast amount of spaces that we do with the UAS. We operate as Customs and Border Protection a system called TARS, the Tethered Aerostat Radar System. It's a high-altitude system that does air surveillance along the border and detects aircraft that will be crossing our border. And that gives us that kind of long-range look that you're talking about. But the actual camera systems that would affect apprehensions, those are lower-altitude platforms that we utilize primarily right now down in the Rio Grande Valley. I would see that as part of our system of defense in depth. So really, as we talk about how we protect the borders and apprehend people crossing, we have agents, we have technology in terms of cameras on towers, we have these balloons, we have the Predator system that works at higher altitudes, we have aircraft to do those. So it's more of a whole system or a system of systems and not just one individual component of it that you can look to as kind of the silver bullet. So I think that's a better way to characterize how those balloons fit into our program. We've posted all this information on our website, cbp.gov. So our commissioner, Commissioner Kerlikowske, is very committed to transparency. So we've made this information available. There's nothing here that we're not willing to discuss in terms of our operation of this platform. So I just urge people to go to that website if they want to see the materials posted.